Gibson's fate would have been dramatically different. He would have been signed to a studio contract, complete with a morality clause to govern his behavior, and he'd have had studio-employed fixers, the hidden yet essential cogs in the star-making machine, to clean up after him in case of scandal. The fixers would erase all traces of the incident. The police would be paid off, the report would disappear. To the public at large, he'd continue to be a gallant husband, doting father, and responsible citizen, the very paragon of contemporary masculinity. Any whispers of chronic drunkenness would be silenced by well-placed mentions in the gossip columns concerning his commitment to his adoring children and devoted wife. Gibson's image would remain intact, his earning power for the studio secure. Because in the golden age of Hollywood, scandal was a roadblock, but rarely an endgame. During this period, stars weren't born, they were made. Scouts would bring in raw star material, culled from the vaudeville circuit, the theater, or the soda fountain counter. The potential star would be given a name, a sanitized and sometimes dramatized backstory, a makeover, and a contract. After assigning him or her a few bit parts and gauging audience reception, usually through the amount and tone of fan mail, the studio would figure the performer's fate. An actor could be kept around to pleasure visiting execs, relegated to the stock character pool, or promoted to bona fide stardom with first choice of roles and directors. Stardom was what happened when the raw star material and studio magic created an image that was not only beautiful, but sublime, not only likable, but charismatic. For an actor to become a star, he had to become more than the sum of his exquisite parts. His image had to demonstrate a particular way of life, a way of being in the world that resonated and inspired emulation. The boy next door all grown up, the rough cowboy with a heart of gold, the adventurer with a romantic streak. This book tells the story of how these extraordinary stars were made, but also, as the title indicates, how they were unmade, or at least how the emergence of scandal compromised their carefully constructed public personas. The stars in this book were immaculate productions, the result of tremendous toil on the part of press agents, stylists, directors, and cooperative gossip columnists and fan magazine editors. But even the most perfect productions can crumble beneath the weight of their accumulated cultural meaning. Over the course of the next 14 chapters, you'll see how that pressure served as a catalyst for all manner of misbehavior. Drug use, gambling, and illicit sexual encounters in various shapes and styles. In other words, the bigger the star, the more meaningful she becomes to the public, the higher the chance for scandal to emerge. Yet a star's actions, behavior, or lifestyle choices are never de facto scandalous. Rather, they become scandalous when they violate the status quo in some way. A divorce in 1920 was potentially scandalous. Today, it's par for the course. In 1950, homosexuality was unspeakable. Today, it's doable, if difficult, with the help of a well-orchestrated coming-out narrative. Scandal is amplified when a star's actions violate not only the status quo, but the underlying understanding of that star's image as well. When Saint Ingrid, Ingrid Bergman, ran off with an Italian director and gave birth to a child out of wedlock, the scandal was rooted not only in the infidelity, but in how brazenly she violated her fans' understanding of her image and what it seemed to represent. Scandal thus functions as a rupture, not only in a star's image, but in whatever cultural value that star represents. With carefully planned publicity, that rupture can be repaired. A star can repent. Her actions can be reframed. See, for example, the dramatic reconfiguration of Brad Pitt's divorce from Jennifer Aniston, or Robert Downey Jr.'s phoenix